Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. Now, this week, we dedicate the whole programme to the 56th Venice Art Biennale, which starts this Saturday, May 9th. On the eve of this seven-month art extravaganza, we'll be in conversation with Ossian Ward from the Listen Gallery, previewing his highlights and his expectations. That's all to come right here on the Monocle Arts Review on Monocle 24. There are few places as inspirational as Venice to celebrate art. And every 2 years, this wonderful watery city welcomes the world to its pavilions and palazzos to be awed, inspired and entertained. So let's waste not a minute more to welcome Ossian to the show and tell us all about the 2015 offering. Now, I'd like to start by hearing your thoughts on this year's curator.
So this year's curator is Okwi Enwezor, a Nigerian guy who's been, he's curated lots of biennials. He did a big Paris triennial recently when they reopened the Palais de Tokyo. And he's done Documenta, which is the biggest of the, you know, the regular exhibitions. So he's already been there, done that. He's not a surprise choice, but he is the first kind of African curator. So there is an African element to what he's doing. But I don't think that, hopefully that won't kind of colour that whole experience, because there has been controversy in the past. One of the curators of a previous biennial called Robert Storr put in what Okwi Enwezor thought was a sort of token African element. So there was lots of back and forth and letters and criticism and sniping about this. So his will be open to criticism, as should all of them. But previous large exhibitions he's done have been kind of ethnographic in tone, but that doesn't discount, it doesn't mean it's going to be lots of African artists. It means it's going to be artists dealing with identity, dealing with issues of nationality. I think the African thing is going to be a big issue. I mean, he started out talking about how the Venice Biennial itself was founded, not the Biennial itself, he talked about how one of the pavilions, the Belgian pavilion, was first built the same year that the Belgians were busy massacring people in the Congo. So he's already talking about it as a very politicized event.
But I think that's what I find very interesting, because he is he's giving it a context, a historical context, yep, and also a political context. He was saying, you know, if you look at what's happened to the world in the 2 years since the last biennial, so much has been happening, and this can't be disassociated with art and the creation of art.
And that's a very brave stance to take, because most people say, well, let's not do politics, let's not do nationality, let's not do gender or race, let's stick to the easy stuff. So he's also cited a 1974 biennial, where they dedicated a lot of that show to dealing with Chile and Pinochet's coup d'etat. And so, you know, I don't think he's going to make it that specific. He's not saying I'm responding to this world event, but he certainly set the cat amongst the pigeons in that respect.
Now, at the biennials, you often have like a set theme, often like a set text at an exam. Now, he has, rather than a theme, he has something, an overarching theme, which is called All the World's Future.
Yeah.
What does he mean by this? What challenge has he set the curators?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. These overarching themes are sometimes the worst element of a biennial, because you have to give it some sort of flavour. But I think in giving it the idea that he might be attaching it to these historical events and looking to the future, there's something to be said about that. I think what one of the set texts, if you like, that he's going to be introducing is there's going to be readings of Karl Marx's Das Kapital throughout the entire 7 months of the biennial. So live readings in this performative arena. He's calling it the arena. So he's making a big deal out of performance, but he's also making a big deal out of Das Kapital. So that's a political statement when you're looking at the kind of people who will be in Venice next week, the collectors.
Well, I was going to say, because Venice prides itself on not being a marketplace for art, not being commercial in a way. It's an exhibition. And yet this is a bit of a provocation, Karl Marx's Kapital.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the weird thing is that you have this kind of 7 months, three volumes, Das Kapital. It makes it sound like it's some sort of blockbuster event. But I hope it will be more sort of, it will insinuate it into the life of the biennial. It won't be the overriding thing that everyone remembers. But there, in this performative arena, he's also having Jeremy Deller looking at conditions of workers in factories, Charles Gaines, an American artist, on Civil War and prison songs, which will be fascinating. Lauren Calzadilla doing a kind of a choral piece based around Genesis and Milton's Paradise Lost. And Theaster Gates is making a new piece about the demolition of kind of local parish churches in African American and Hispanic cultures in America. So there's plenty of kind of you know, meat to this political idea.
And in a way, a bit like Rem Koolhaas at the Architecture Biennale brought in dance and performance, this curator is also creating an arena, I gather, by the architect David Adjaye.
Yeah, so that is going to be one of the main focuses. And, you know, I said there was a kind of African focus. He's also invited, you know, sections, different sections will be curated by different people. And he's also up in arms because the Kenyan pavilion is actually sort of being overtaken by Chinese artists this year. So he's being very vocal, and I'm sure he's also announced that the Golden Lion for the Lifetime Achievement Award goes to an artist called El Anatsui from Ghana, who's a wonderful, you will have seen if you've been to any of the Venice Biennales in recent times, these wonderful huge textiles made of bottle tops and things from Nigeria, and he's been given the Lifetime Achievement Award. So there are these things peppering it that bring Okwi's talents and flavour to the biennial.
Now, to continue, let's put our spotlight on some of the national pavilions. Now, I absolutely adore the element of surprise crossing the threshold of these pavilions, especially the architectural gems in the Giardini that over the years can be brand ambassadors or provocateurs for a nation. Ossian, in today's world, do you think this notion of pavilions is relevant? What does it offer curators?
I think it's very strange. I think the architecture curators and the pavilions, they handle it better, but I think they're constraints. So the Finnish pavilion is designed by Alvar Aalto, but it's a tiny little thing made out of wood. You know, it's beautiful, but it's not made for showing art. And then the Nordic pavilion is an enormous kind of beautiful modernist thing, which you almost can't compete against. There's hardly any walls. So these things are, you know, they were made at a time when we were looking at this kind of national bravado to show what the architecture could do. I mean, none is more pompous, let's say, than the British Pavilion, kind of up at the top of the hill, beautiful neoclassical, sort of neo-Palladian sort of confections, bit of nonsense. So I'm quite looking forward to see what Sarah Lucas makes of this. She of the, you know, stockings filled with stuff and oozy kind of sausages, very sexy, very irreverent. So what she makes of that is great. You know, I look forward to the artist kind of challenging the pavilions.
Does she have a certain kind of, is there going to be a certain take on Britishness that
inevitably, yes. I think, you know, her thing has always been the gender and the Britishness together. Interestingly, you know, recently she did one of her first ever performances, which was frying fried eggs and sticking them to people's chests, let's say, in the chest area, two fried eggs, you can imagine, and on people's T-shirts. So she's never kind of defaulted from, you know, her strange path. But I think it will, you know, it won't feel like a reverent show, you know, in the British Pavilion. I think she'll kind of mess it up and make it feel sexy somehow. That's possible.
I mean, are we going to see kind of new work? Is it curated highlights of her work? What do you think?
I know they won't tell me, but it's new work. I know they finished installation about a week ago. They're very happy with it. So, I mean, that's what we're looking for. We're not looking for kind of the greatest hits. That will probably be existing work. So another one that's quite interesting will be the New Zealand Pavilion, which is Simon Denny, who's interesting as a kind of post-Snowden artist. His show is called Secret Power and will be about this kind of new data-driven world that we live in. And his last series of exhibitions, which were based on the stuff that was seized by police from that notorious pirate, Kim.com, you know, shows that he's very current in the kind of language of where we're living at the moment. And he's actually not only doing the New Zealand Pavilion, but he's actually doing something in the airport. So you'll see it as soon as you come in through the kind of the gates, you know, and that's the place where we are surveyed most, I suppose, an airport.
A lot of these pavilions have been there for, you know, almost over 100 years. But I think this year, am I right saying the Australian Pavilion, which has been closed for a cycle, is going to be unveiled?
I didn't know that they were, because I know that Australian Pavilion, and it's been slightly
hidden away.
slightly falling down for a few years. So maybe I didn't know they were redoing that. Mm-hmm. But there's always new ones, I think, you know, whether they're traditionally in the Jardini or not. So, for example, this year there's the first ever India and Pakistan pavilion together. So the show's called My East is Your West. Indian artist called Shilpa Gupta and a Pakistani artist called Rashid Rana. And the whole idea is political. The idea that those two could share a berth or a space is wonderful. And, you know, we'll see if it works. But Rashid Rana will be working with this kind of projected image. So there'll be images from Lahore and from Pakistan beamed into Venice and vice versa, I suppose. So that will be an interesting vignette into someone else's life.
And finally, any other controversial pavilions?
Yes, well, I mean, I mentioned the Kenyan pavilion, which is controversial. I think the Icelandic pavilion is going to be controversial. This is another problem when you have artists who aren't necessarily from that country. Christoph Buckel is a Swiss artist who's known for chopping things up and creating mayhem. And he's actually creating a mosque in Venice, and there's never been a mosque in Venice. So that's a kind of temporary 7 month, you know, I don't know how I feel about a white Swiss artist creating a mosque, but that will surely get people going.
Well, just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
Certainly much, much more in the world of national pavilions at Venice. Let's take a look now at the added value events complementing this year's official offering. Ossian, where are you going to be taking your water taxi to first?
Well, let's hope that, let's hope there's one waiting for me. I never seem to be able to get one. There are some that will fit beautifully in the setting. So there's three great painting shows. One by Lu Xiaodong, a painter from Beijing. He's very well known there. And his figurative work, it will fit wonderfully in the kind of palazzo vibe. But I think his work is interesting because he actually, it's called Painting as Shooting. And he almost makes a painting as you would a documentary film. So he does it out in the open. You know, he doesn't paint in the studio. Peter Doig, who we're very familiar with, he'll have a big painting show. And a show by Korean minimalist artists as well. So that will be an extra different element to this painting thread.
Well, let's look at Peter Doig. I mean, there's been quite a lot of hype already about the fact that Peter Doig is going to be exhibiting at Venice. So why would they choose to do this showcase at Venice with everything else going on? Why do you think?
Well, it's because of that. It's just the biggest showcase. So I think people expect there to be large retrospective shows amongst all the kind of the other stuff, the group shows and the different things going on. There's always, you know, a few names out there. I think it's when people put on their best clothes and they put on their best shows, they think it's the best time of the year. I don't know whether that makes them better. That certainly there was a wonderful Anthony Caro show during the last Venice Biennale, which was just after he died, actually. So it was very poignant, but it was kind of on the St. Mark's Square, and you could go, and there was a Manet show as well. So there's always other things you can find that are going on at the same time.
I think the brilliant thing, and very much, I think, pushed a bit more in the Art Biennale than the Architecture Biennale, is the use of space, different spaces, falling down warehouses and churches. And it really does open up doors that otherwise you wouldn't get access to. Are there some this year that are...
Yeah, I mean, I suppose these fall into the weird and wacky category. So we have a friend of mine, an artist called Doug Fishbone, doing a mini golf adventure playground kind of idea. So you can put your golf balls around a park made by artists. I think his is going to be the most controversial because he's actually taken a model of the Costa Concordia, that the ship that capsized and killed lots of people. So you can navigate your golf ball around that. Say no more. And then, you know, I don't know what I think about this. I'm a big fan of graffiti. There's going to be a Bridges of Graffiti exhibition. Mm-hmm. So normally this kind of smacks of jumping on the bandwagon. But actually, with the list, they have Mode 2 and Futura and Teach, a British artist. It might be good. And then There's another kind of fun element, which is Rob Pruitt, a New Yorker, who's doing his flea market, which he's done at other art fairs like Frieze before, which is kind of him and his artist friends with a table full of tat. But, you know, this can also have renewed vigour in the environs of Venice.
Well, also, I suppose it pokes a little fun at this world, which is, you know, now almost being taken over by the fashion world. Everyone wants a piece of it. It's so over-moneyed. Everything is swirling around in millions and billions.
Rolls-Royce commissions and, you know, fashion collaborations. And there are a couple of architecture ones. So Shigeru Ban is doing a new pavilion this year. I think it was perhaps... off the back of that was a wonderful tea pavilion made by Hiroshi Sugimoto that opened last year during the Architecture Biennial. So there are all these collaborations going on as well.
Well, that is really, well, that really only just touches on the tip of the iceberg of what will be unveiled at the Venice Art Biennale next week, Ossian Ward. We look forward to welcoming you back to studio with a good critique on your return. That brings us to the end of today's show. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. My producers were Holly Fisher, Fernando Augusto Pacheco, and Bill Luthi. Join us again tomorrow for our weekly music review. Until then, goodbye from me, and thanks for listening. Thank you.